Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of My Darkest Hour. So great to have you guys with us. So good to see you guys all. We're keeping the flow flowing. It's been a really great year so far. A lot of things have been happening. I've been really busy, of course. Don't forget, you can always find me at the University of Magicus. We're doing our classes still. We're keeping that stuff rolling. We're getting a lot of comments of you guys going out there and checking out the classes. You can sign up at University of Magicus. You can go to Magicus U, and that you'll be able to find our classes, all the teachers, of course. Everyone knows I'm doing a lot of stuff with Patty. We're constantly busy. It's been nonstop, especially this year. We've had so many strange cases going on, and you know, I really love to tell you guys more about that stuff. So make sure you go to the university, check it out, and don't forget to go to the YouTube channel to watch all the past videos that we've done. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button if you like the content. Always, if you get a chance, go into the comments and let me know what you guys are looking for. We'll see if we can do that. I will be posting more of the investigation stuff that we've had. Had an incredible case I got lucky to just kind of stumble into. Full-blown poltergeist stuff. Coolest ghost ever. Throwing money at us out of nowhere. It was unbelievable. I will show you guys the clips in the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned for that and check it out. Right now, my guest tonight is a longtime good friend, Charlie Kraszewski. And someone I've known for a while. I've done a lot of the paranormal, paracons and some of the events. He's a psychic medium as well as being a master card reader, which I love. Everyone knows that I read my cards. I use the thought deck. A lot of people say, well, that's really pretty intense and kind of dark, but it's not really. It gives you the 12 extra trumps. That kind of gets you more definite insight of what we're looking at. So you guys can go to the video of that and learn more about the card reading stuff. And once again, we'll have that on the University of Magicus. So right now, let's go ahead and bring Charlie in and get started and find out what has been happening with him. Charlie.
Hey, Stefan, what's going on?
Awesome. You look great. Cool. I like your background there. The blue wall looks nice.
Yeah, well, it's just in the bedroom. I figured this is a comfortable place to be, so just
now,
hanging out.
Is that a cat?
Yes, that is one of six cats that we have. This one's Mystic, and she wants a ton of love, so she'll be all over me tonight.
Oh, awesome. I wasn't sure. I just saw this thing moving. I'm like, oh, did Charlie grow a tail? What's going on with that?
No tail yet.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for joining us. You know, been wanting to be on the show for like almost 10 years now. Here we are, finally.
Finally, we made it happen. The time was right.
Yes, exactly that. So I was telling everybody a little bit about the background. I know, you do the card reading and you tell people, you do readings for people, of course.
Yes.
Psychic abilities and stuff like that. I've seen you do some work out there in the field, and it's always fantastic, you know. So if you could, start by telling us a little bit about your background. How did you find out about your abilities, and how did you get started and where you're at now?
It's always kind of been there in the background. I just never really focused on anything. I grew up in a house that had like four different ghosts in it. Each one had its own personality. And at first, of course, I'm terrified. I'm like, nope, I don't want to deal with it. I'm not talking to you. I don't want to see it. But, you know, they made themselves known to me because obviously they knew I could see them, or, you know, knew that they were around. So they kept, you know, reaching out to me. I'm like, all right, fine. And I was like, okay, I'll just dive more into this. And then as I started looking at things and just trying to figure it out, I mean, this was back in the early 90s. So, you know, the internet was barely a thing at that time. You know, you had to kind of do your research on your own, you know, whatever you could find, library books, whatever, you know, some kind of thing. And tarot had always called to me. I was always, you know, I was so fascinated with the cards. I'm like, I'm going to learn that because that's going to be the thing I'm going to do. That's the thing. I just felt it. And then I got my first tarot deck, you know, an original Rider-Waite deck, you know, with basically the only thing you could find at the time. And
Mm-hmm.
I got the, I was so happy. I got that deck. I got it home. I opened it up and I looked at the cards and I said, "What? What is this?" I had no idea. And then I started reading about it and all these things that you had to do. You know, you had to like sleep with the cards for 3 days and all of this to make a connection. And there's, I was like, I'm like, I have no time for this. I thought this would be just, you know, pull it out, bam, it's going to tell me the secrets of the universe. And it didn't. So I put them away. I said, nope, forget about it. And then, you know, but it was always there, always calling to me. You know, how those things get under your skin and you just have to do it. So, you know, a couple of years go by and I'm looking around some other things. I'm like, okay, well, maybe that was just the wrong deck. You know, there's got to be more than one deck. So I did some more research and I found, you know, our good friend, the Toth deck or Thoth deck, however you say it, you know, Crowley's deck. And I was, that deck called to me so strong. I was like, oh my God, this is the one. This is the one I got to get. No, Mystic. Sorry, I got a cat that is just attacking me right now.
Somebody anyway, wants to catch you. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got that deck and I was like, okay, this is going to be the one. I'll figure it out. And I started looking through it and I was just blown away. I'm like, okay, found a book on it, read the book, understood about 2% of it. I was like, you know, this is going to work. And did some more research and I found out that that deck is known as the hardest deck in the world to learn, read, do. You know, it's like, if you are a beginner, don't go anywhere near this deck. And so I was like, okay, of course, the deck that I am called to.
Start with the Rider deck.
Yeah. Yeah, I should start with Rider, but nope, I had to go to the Toth because that's the one that called me. I'm like, that's just the way my whole thing works. I have to go to the hardest thing first and figure it out, and then everything else comes behind it. So I put in quite a lot of work, finally figured out, you know, it's like, okay, this is how you do it. It was just, you know, reading for myself, learning the cards, and about 6-7 years ago, a couple of friends were like, you know, hey, give me a reading, give me a reading. I was like, no, you don't want a reading. You know, I didn't want to dive into it. It's like I wanted to keep it to myself for some reason. I almost felt like I was almost like scared to let people know that I could do these things. If that makes any sense to people, I'm sure it does. But I found another deck called the Wild Unknown deck, and I just connected immediately with that deck. I was like, okay, now that I had that deck and I did readings for a couple of friends, and every time it's just been spot on. I was like, yep, this is the thing I do. So it's been really quite the adventure.
That's awesome. And it's funny because everyone talks about their first deck, and it's usually the Rider deck. It's like the most common deck there is. When I started, I was a little kid. I must have been 5 or 6. And I actually, my mom actually got me my own little Rider deck. And it was a little tiny one like that. And I still have it today, the little one. And it is true about the whole bonding of the deck, because you got to infuse your energy with it. There has to be that connection. So what I used to do as a kid is I would actually play solitaire with it, because all the cards line out the same way as a regular deck of cards. So I was just playing with that and getting familiar with it and the shapes and stuff. And then as I got older, I learned more, and then I grew up and I got the bigger deck, and that progressively got me on to the Toth deck, which, like I was just saying, there's 12 more trumps in there, which gives you a bigger definition of what you're looking at.
Yeah.
You know, and I have all the books and stuff and read all the charts and all this madness. I'm like, oh, this is going to be the hardest deck in the whole world. But in reality, when you start reading the deck, it's not really that hard. You're doing the layout and things are coming right out to you. And I think that's just part of the connection of the flow that we have going through the cards.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a deck. I usually just keep that one. I'll read for myself with that deck. And if I get somebody who I've done readings for, I have a couple of repeat clients. And if they're not listening or like not getting the message, then the next time they come to me, I pull out the Thoth deck, because for me, that one pulls no punches. It tells it the way it is. And if you aren't going to listen, it's going to slap you.
Yeah.
And so Yeah, when somebody needs that, just like, bam, here is totally the truth.
True. That's why the deck that you want to have read, because, you know, it doesn't, there's no second mm-hmm. guessing. It's like, oh, yeah, that could be this, or maybe it's going to that. It's like, no. Mm-hmm. The top deck's going to be like, oh, this is what's happening. These are the paths that you can choose. Choose mm-hmm. your destiny. It's like, oh, either you're going to listen or you're not going to listen, but it's telling you straight up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what I love about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that deck just cuts right through everything, and yeah, definitely tells you, boom, you know, just hits you over the head with it. It's like, here it is, believe it yeah. or not, but that there's your choices. Do it, yeah. you know.
But yep. you were saying you grew up in a haunted house. It had some ghosts in your house.
Yes, sir.
I kind of did the same thing, but we lived in an area where it was heavily populated with Indian spirits. You know,
mm-hmm. okay.
Everybody was a kid, I always saw them like. Day one, and I never thought anything weird about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when you're around certain spirits and you see them, you get you bond with that impression they're giving you. You know, you can yeah. tell if they're not good or if they're really good and passive. You know, mm-hmm. I always have these great experiences with the Indians, always coming by and like standing there and smiling at me and just being that nice, friendly atmosphere. And they would move on and go to my mm-hmm. sister's room and walk through the back closet and whatever. But I never had any issues with it until I got a little bit older, and then I would come in contact with things that were trying to get your attention and scare you a little bit. And I was a kid, so mm-hmm. I don't know. And then I had a weird experience that not everything was Casper the Friendly Ghost, you know, something yeah. kind of menacing. Like one time I was alone, and a picture flew off the wall, and I was just like, what's going on here? You know, that kind of led me to let's investigate more about the supernatural and what's really going mm-hmm. on. And, you know, and I was lucky enough to have a mom who was already into that spiritual movement, and she just kind of guided me through a lot of this stuff. So it worked out great. Okay. What
yeah,
about
that's good.
You? Did you always have good experiences, or did you ever come across anything that wasn't so pleasant?
Well, like I said, there was four ghosts in this house, and in the garage was an old man, spirit of an old man. He was an angry old man, just your classic. And yeah, this is you know, if you're angry in life, you're going to be angry when you're dead, you know, kind of thing, when your spirit's there. He wanted things his way. He would slam boards around. You know, we had stuff stacked up. He would knock it over. I remember, you know, my dad had hooked up an old car radio, one of those old ones with the dial and the other little line, and you move that for the stations.
Cool.
I would put on my radio station, turn it up, you know, have the car in the driveway watching my car, and the radio would change to the oldie station. And, you know, so I'd be like, what? And stop and go back in, put it back on my station. I thought sure my dad had come down and was messing with me or whatever. And then back out washing my car, it changed again. I was like, what? I was like, okay, that's not funny. My dad comes out of the front door, which was upstairs, going like, who are you talking to? I was like, whoa. So I go back in and I'm like, no, this is stupid. I want to listen to my music. I push the button again, you know, put it on my station, stood there and go, no, I'm going to listen to my music. And as I stood there, I felt it. It got really cold around me, and all of a sudden, that dial moved right back to the oldie station.
And oh, wow.
I was like, "Yeah, I was like, okay, I'm done." At that point, I think I was, I don't know, 17, 18. I was like, "No, no, no, no. This guy is no fun." And I was like, "Okay," turned it off, and just finished washing my car. And you know, I wouldn't go in the garage for like 3 days, so it definitely scared me.
That's interesting, but. At the same time, he could have been trying to, like, you know, older people are like, oh, back in my day, my music was so much better than what you kids listen to. Maybe he was trying to have that show you stuff, you know, like trying to be like a grandfather figure. It's like, you know, don't listen to yeah. that. Listen to this. Good stuff. This is what we
yeah, yeah. It could have been, but like if he wasn't always like slamming stuff around, like my dad did woodworking, so he'd always have boards piled up. He would knock the boards over, throw them around. You know, I saw a board fly across the garage one time. And so, no, I think he was just an angry old man. I don't think he was trying to show me anything. I thought he was just pissed that, you know, I was listening to that jungle music or something, you know, just something he did not like, you know.
that's what they do, you know. And yeah. Like you said, you know, like in life, like in death, you know, they're the same. They yeah. bring that energy with them, and they remain the same, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that they do for sure.
Yeah, I have in this house right here, we have about 8 spirits. It's it gets pretty gnarly sometimes, and the majority of them are my wife's relatives.
Okay.
In this office right here, I got 2 in this room, and it's a little tiny room. It's not a big deal, but it's my wife's sister who passed, and her fiance, and we've taken the equipment out and all that stuff, and I've seen them. We have videoed them. Banging on the wall on the closet right here a lot. I do like I was saying in the beginning, me and Patty do a lot of teaching at the University of Magicus, which is like a Hogwarts kind of thing.
Yeah
I know. And yeah, cool. And I'll be doing my classes and things will be banging over here, and or things will be sliding behind me. It's like, come on you guys, I'm in the middle of this. What's going on? And people always point out, what was that? I saw that thing. And I'm like, yeah, that's them messing around. That's what I got my haunted friend over here right behind me, Abby. She always wants to be part of the show and be, you know, up in front, and she's always checking things out. But it's cool to do the classes, and people always say, what was that? I saw the guitar in the back move. You know, what's going on? Or they'll hear it pluck or something.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
It's usually pretty good, but sometimes they just show up in the wrong time, and I'm in the middle of something.
You know, yeah, it's like, guys, I'm trying to work here. Calm down, you know?
Yeah, the worst is the bathroom. It's like, really?
Oh.
I'm busy here, you know, can you come back later? It's like, that's how I met my wife's dad. I was in the bathroom, and all of a sudden, I just smelled the smell of, like, diesel fuel just came up, and he worked on his truck, his big diesel truck. He was a truck driver. So I'm like, okay, you know, I'll meet you in the living room about 15 minutes, you know, give me some time kind of thing. But that happens, and that, you know, people who live in haunted houses, they have to kind of expect that.
Yeah, yeah, you set your boundaries. And this house, the previous owner comes back. He haunts this place. He died in a car accident, but he comes back. He's been here a lot. He comes in, checks in on us every so often. Anytime we change anything in the house, he's right here, you know. I think to give his approval, I think that's why he comes back. You know, it's like, what are you doing to my house? Kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I believe that the previous owner of this house comes back once in a while, because when I was dating my wife before we got married, I would come over here, and I knew it was just her and her daughter. Mm-hmm. I'd be like in the living room, like waiting for them to come out or whatever, and I would hear snoring down the end of the hallway, like a guy snoring. I'm like, what the heck is that? You know?
Wow.
And that was his room, and he passed in this house. And that's how we ended up buying the house. They always come back to their environment, of course. You know, they always go back to where they felt most comfortable.
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. So you're already seeing the spirits and stuff, so you knew you had some abilities. Mm-hmm. Did anybody try to nurture that with you? What was your parents' reaction when you told them about that?
My parents were like, they were supportive and fascinated by it. Like, anytime I would say anything or mention it to my mom, she was like, yeah, I kind of maybe felt something. But she's always been fascinated with it. She's supported me, you know, 100%, you know, anything that I do, which is great. So it made me feel less, you know, less weird, less strange. It's like, oh, okay, cool. And then when I met Brian, my husband, you know, he has got, you think I got good abilities. He's an amazing guy. I mean, the spirits talk to him, everything. I mean, he's right up there, crazy. So he was like, you know, I've always wanted to go like ghost hunting and stuff. And I was like, well, let's get some recorders and go. So with, you know, with us together, that's when it really launched into, you know, investigating places and me really diving deep into it all.
That's awesome. I mean, luckily you had a partner that you can do that with that helps you kind of come together. Me and my wife do that. I mean, she's not really psychic to the extent of stuff, but when she's with me, it kind of charges me up and it kind of opens things up a little bit. And I've known Brian for a long time too. And I noticed that about him. You know, he's a real good spirit. Other spirits kind of manifest and come to him because they want to, they're picking up on his energy, you know. And you two together, I just imagine that. You guys are two like beacons going off, and all the spirits are like, oh, what's going on over here? Let's see what these guys are up to, you know.
Yeah. So yeah. We attract a lot for sure.
Yeah. Especially going to all those locations, you know. We've done Virginia City a bunch of times. We've done Walter City a bunch of times now. I mean, it's great to go in those environments, and to have a partner that you can do that with is a big game changer, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Early on when we met, you know, it was coming up to my birthday, and he was like, well, what do you want to do? I was like, I've always wanted to go to the Hornet, you know, always wanted to go on a tour of the Hornet. Yeah, it's
amazing place. So many great investigations there, and so many people that I've known who've had great experiences there.
And this was right as we were starting for, like, you know, ghost hunting, you know, paranormal stuff. And so we went during the day for my birthday and, you know, just toured around the ship. And we got activity during the day. You know, we were down in Medical Bay and seeing things move. And, you know, it's all little, like, I can see shadow figures all the time. And, man, they were just, you know, they were so happy to see people, you know, that were ready to interact with them that day. It was so cool. And so that really like lit the fire on us. And then Brian looked it up and they did overnight investigations on the Hornet. So we signed up for the next one. I think we had a K2 meter and two digital recorders and off we went. And, you know, it was just an amazing night. It was so much fun.
Did you get any voices? Like they say in the medical bay and in the bunks and stuff, there's a lot of voices of people in there.
Yeah, yeah. We've gotten EVPs there. My best one that night, we were up in one of the bunk areas and we were just doing some recordings, a whole group of people. And I asked, it was like, hey, do you prefer blondes or brunettes? And when we played it back, you could hear redhead. I was like, oh, I forgot to ask the other hair color. But yeah, so it was
perfect.
Yeah, it's fun. We've been on the Hornet so many times. There's a few spirits there that they always show up for us. They're always, you know, they always come by. I have a guy up in the Admiral's quarters. He hangs out in the hallway. He always ducks into the room, you know, pokes his head in the room and, you know, lets me know he's there. There's a guy, he was a cook. He's down in the kitchen. We call him Sven. I'm not sure if that's really his name, but a couple of my friends got that name. And so we always say, hey, Sven, when we're there, and he'll knock on things. He rambled a couple trays for us one day when we were down there. So, I mean, there's just activity all over the place. It's amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah, it could be his name or it could be a nickname that he was very fond of. So that's cool. Yeah. And he's identifying. Yeah, that's me. I'm over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically. Yeah, we'll say something and he'll knock to let us know where we are. So we'll head over that way. And, you know, just he said like hi a couple times on EVPs. Yeah, not much. We haven't got a lot. It's more just the feeling that he's there. And, you know, those feelings you get, you know, a spirit's there and you kind of interact that way. Yeah, that's the kind of action we get with him. But he's a great guy.
I get that a lot when I'm in the engine room at the Queen Mary, like way below the ship.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So
those guys are in there doing their thing. You can hear them. I've heard them whistling. I've heard them banging on stuff like they're fixing stuff, you know, and it's very interesting. And when we come in there, like the whistling guy, as soon as you get to the doorway or the whistling guy, it's like his hallway, he just kind of stops. So I'm pretty sure he just stops like looking at him like, oh, what's this guy going to do? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And some of the big ships I've experienced that on, you know, and it's, I've never experienced anything really scary or anything trying to intimidate me like that. But you get them, I would do the same thing, you know. And I say that about investigations, but, you know, the spirit is going to decide at first when you're coming in if they're going to hang out with you or not. Because they think you're some jerk. Like you see the TV shows and those guys are out there like, oh, you better come out here, spirit, and show yourself and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Would you go out there and hang out with that guy if that guy was talking to you like that?
No, of course not.
I'd be like, you know what, I'm going to hang out in the patio until this jerk leaves, and, you know. But if you go in with a good attitude and say, oh, this place is so amazing, you know, you did such a great job in your house or whatever, you know, you kind of give them that respect and you honor them a little bit, I think they're more friendly. They're like, I've got some great EVPs talking about their furniture and stuff, and them saying, yeah, just blue or whatever. You know, it was just kind of that friendship developing, and I think that's way better for an investigator.
Yeah, yeah, I agree completely. That's the way to go in. You know, it's like, you know, respect their space and be friendly and be happy. I found jokes, just be laughing, joking, even the stupidest dad joke or, you know, little, you know, whatever, clean, nothing, you know, funny joke. And you'll get equipment going off. You'll get EVPs of people laughing. It's that whole thing. Just bring in that positive, high energy, and spirits react to it. It's amazing.
It's true. I was doing an investigation, just real quick. Me and Patty were doing this extreme haunting case. It was pretty bad, you know, and I'm just myself, and I bring out my personality, and I'm very sarcastic. I might have a lot of fun, you know, and I just make jokes like we're talking about. And these things are like nasty spirits. And I'm just doing myself, and Patty's just like, oh my God. I'm like, what? She's like, two of them think you are so funny. They are just cracking up. this one guy who's just not having it. He is just getting madder and madder. I'm like, that guy has to go. He's got no personality. He's got no sense of humor. What's he doing here? The other two we can hang out with, you know, and that kind of stuff. But it's true. You know, you lighten the mood by just having fun. And they're like, oh, cool. This guy's not some jerk. He's not going to try to like harm us or anything. We're just going to hang out. Like, and that's what it's about.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about some of your greatest experiences. Let's talk about, like, you know, you've been doing this a long time. What are some of the best moments that you can recall being in this field?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I went right there.
Wow, sure. Just drop that on me. Best. Probably first year at Vulture City was just mind-blowing, that place. It seemed like all the spirits were finally like, wait a minute, you guys can see us, you can interact, and it was crazy. Anywhere you went, there was activity. It was so much fun. I'm really good with dowsing rods. I have it's basically called a witch's fork. It's like a U-shape, so it's like a one-handed dowsing rod. So, yeah, I can just hold it one hand. And we were back in a building that had, like, it used to be a warehouse. And there was a spirit back there. I think he said his name was Steve. And he was just chatty. Every question he was answering. And you could tell he was right there and excited that somebody saw him and was interacting with him. I mean, just that whole night was an amazing. It's probably one of my top.
What building was that in? Was that in the assessor's building?
No, it was actually the one behind, you know, where the bunkhouse is. It was the building right across from the bunkhouse.
The garage, or
yeah, the garage.
Okay,
it was in the garage. Yeah, it was back there. And in the assayer's building, I was actually there with a couple of, you know, when we were just going around, there's like two or three of us there. And so I came in and I had my dowsing rods. I was like, hey, we just got some gold and we were told to come over here. Can you show me where we're supposed to go, what we're supposed to do? And dowsing rod turned right to the first station. So we walk over there and, you know, they had all this display and signs explaining things. So we read it. It's like, oh, okay, here's where we weigh it. Okay. And then it's like, all right, what do we do now? Dowsing rod turned to the next point of this. And it took us all the way around the room explaining each step. It was so cool.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. That's what I do with my little meter that I have, my 360 periscope. It lights up for yes or no questions and stuff. And it's got a thing. And I also say, hey, light it up. Where do you want to take me? Let's go on an adventure. And all of a sudden, one thing will light up and we'll just follow it. And it takes me to wherever it wants to go. I did that at Virginia City at the McKay Mansion. I was in contact with the little girl that was upstairs. And she took me all the way down the back stairs, through the backyard to the playset area where all the kids used to play.
Oh, wow. That is cool.
Stuff. I'm like, all right, let's go, kids. Let's do this. So cool. love when they take us on adventures. And that means they're really happy that we're there to help honor their story, to experience them. You know, like you said, he was so happy that you were able to see him and interact with them, because how many people go there and they're trying to get attention and no one's paying attention because they're not connecting with their energy.
Yeah, exactly. And then one of the things that I've started doing the past couple of years, because, you know, tarot cards and reading cards, is I said, well, why can't I try and read for a spirit? You know, why couldn't I read cards for a spirit? And so I played around a couple of times, like on the Hornet, you know, and getting, and I had other friends, they're psychics, you know, that, you know, so it wasn't just me saying it, it was kind of like verification, you know, they knew, yes, you know, there's another spirit there and they could get information, I'm getting information, and it all lined up. So I was like, okay, this does work, I can do this. And I've kind of honed it. I have a new layout, a new pattern that I use for when I'm reading for spirits, how I lay out the cards. And it's just been amazing. When I was in Virginia City, we were in the Washoe Club, and we were sitting there, we had a spirit box running, and I started doing a reading. And so it's like, okay, you know, laid out the cards, start reading them, and I'm getting responses through the spirit box, like I'm reading a person. It was so cool. It's awesome as anything. And then the next night, other friends were at the Washu investigating, and they actually caught, someone was recording, they had a spirit box, and it came through the spirit box, something about tarot, or like the guy with tarot. And they're like, oh yeah, there was someone reading tarot in here last night. And they're like, yeah, it helped us. Cool. So, I mean, you know, the next day, spirits are still talking about, you know, me reading tarot cards for them. It's, that's the one. I think that just blew me away the most, because I wasn't even there the next night. And, but then they, you know, they sent me the videos and everything, and I just like could not believe it. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's exciting, you know. And now that one spirit's going around telling everybody that you're reading cards, they're all lining up. When's he going to come back? Then you're gonna have to do like a few of them for them. But that's cool. That's building that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So I got to get back up there once the snow melts. I am not a snow guy, so I won't go up there while it's cold.
Yeah, summertime's better for that place.
Yeah, much better.
Well, that's awesome. You know, and that's kind of like one of the things that I do in a lot of places that I go to most frequently. Mm-hmm. I do a thing called a paranormal music party. And what I do is I'll go to these places and introduce myself to the spirits and do some stuff with them. And I'll pick another day and say, hey, you guys, let's have a party. I'm going to come back next Thursday and we're going to have a party. We're going to play music and blah, blah, blah. And I do that. I start with when the building was, you know, made or christened. Mm-hmm. Start with that era, and I just kind of go through generations of music, and then we have all the cameras and all the bells and whistles going, you know. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like the spirits really, really appreciate something like that, because how many times do people go into these places and they're like, oh, hey, can you tell us why you're here? What's your name? With the recorders and stuff, and over and over again. And if it was me, I would be like, oh, not this again. There were people here like 2 hours ago asking that question. It's like, really? Yeah. But if you do something, you just mix it up, and it's not about you trying to get information. It's like, hey, whatever you want to do, let's just do, but let's do this. I'm going to play some music. Everyone party. And then we were getting on our cameras, like the SLS cameras, and, you know, stick figures. Yeah. And I'm like snapping their feet and like snapping their fingers and stuff. I did one place and from the 20s, and it was all good. But when I got to the 40s wartime music, you know, the World War II kind of stuff, big band era. Oh man, that place went nuts. There was everything was blinking and moving because of the spirits. You know, I figured there's a dance floor area, and this is something I've done with the Ghost Adventure stuff. Put meters all on the dance floor, because if they're gonna dance and stuff, they're gonna be bumping into my gear and lighting it up. And things are lighting up and glowing, and you know, we got the speakers going, and we can hear voices like almost singing along to the songs. It was so, so great. And the energy was so high because just so much excitement in having fun. And that's what I try to tell a lot of people who want to get into investigating. It's like, go out there, let them know you're there for them and have fun with them. Because every time you come back, they're just going to get excited that you're there. And it'll just be better every single time. And that's what I do with Vulture City. I go there and, you know, I go to the brothel and I'm always, hey, ladies, it's the bomb, blah, blah, blah. And I'll go in there with, you know, Patty or whoever. They're like, oh, they're so excited you're here. They're totally excited you're here. I'm like, cool, let's have fun. Let's do this and that.
You know, yeah.
It's awesome. And I recommend that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, who are they going to remember? The guy who played music and had the party, or the guy who asked him for the, you know, 3,000th time? What's your name? How did you die? You know, seriously. You know,
In my classes, I even say that. I'm like, don't go in there asking the same boring stuff. You know, everyone does that. Make it exciting and make it about them. Instead of asking them, you know, what year did you die? Say, hey, what was your favorite flavor of ice cream? You know, something like that. And they'll be like, oh, ice cream. I remember ice cream. You know, just something wonderful. You know, what kind of music did you play? And we were doing that at Vulture in the brothel. And there was been like 11 of us in there. And we had everyone spread out, you know, so the spreads can walk back and forth and stuff. And we got them to play the piano 3 times for us.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow, it was nice. We're watching it. I'm like looking and talking to everybody. And all of a sudden the piano goes, boing. And there's nobody there. And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get this clear. Make sure you're there. I mean, do it again. Bang. I'm like, what? That was awesome. You did so good. I'm so proud of you. Oh, my God. That was so great. And all of a sudden, boing. I'm like, boing. Oh, my God. I'm filming it. I'm just like, dude, you are on fire. You know?
Dang. That's awesome.
That's the kind of stuff that you get when you have a good time with your spirits. You know, they're there. They've been there for so long, and people just come and go. But if you go there and hey, party time, everybody, they're gonna get excited. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, definitely. I had heard that. I don't know, sometime. Kind of early on, you know, someone had said, hey, stop asking the same questions and you might get more responses. And yeah, believe it or not, it really works.
Absolutely. So cool. So what's next on the horizon for you? Like, what are you planning on doing? You going to do a book? You going to do anything like that? You've had to ask that question before. I mean, you know.
Well, no, actually not, but a book is probably a bit off. There's so much out there, I would have to sit down and gather things, you know, so a book would be a while off. People keep asking me, it's like, well, when are you going to make your own tarot deck? And so I'm actually sitting down, and it's like, okay, getting it together. You know, I have ideas in my head. The problem is I'm not an artist. I'm not very good. So I may be able to get, like, the sketches down, and I'll have to find somebody who can make, like, you know, decent art to actually bring the images in my head out onto the card. So, but I'm really looking at putting together my own tarot deck and seeing what happens. So that's the biggest thing probably on the horizon for me.
That'd be amazing. Let me know when you got that. I want to get one.
Oh, believe me, man. Everyone's going to know when that thing comes out. So, you know, other than, you know, hitting a few paracons, doing some investigations around here, I'll be down in Southern California for your Pacific Coast Paracon in June, which I'm looking forward to. That's going to be amazing. So, yeah, I've never been down there to your theater, so this is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
It's a great place. And that's where I go to experiment with all my stuff. And that's where we started with the music party. I was doing that documentary and I said, hey, you guys. And they came out. You know, we have a couple of spirits there that have shown themselves and they're dressed in like zoot suits and stuff. You know, that kind of thing.
Wow. That's awesome. The idea.
I'm like, these guys are like big band guys. All right, let's go. You know, and,
yeah, let's do it. That is awesome.
So that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that. What about Vulture? Are you going to go to Vulture this year?
Yeah, I'll go to Vulture again. In the fall, I'll be vending there. They've got a kind of they're switching up the speakers a lot, which is good. You know, I always like seeing new people come in and speak. So I'm not speaking this year, but I'm going to be there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a big fun party there, and everyone has a good time.
It is. Yeah, Jay and Marie, it's like a family reunion going to Vulture because I get to see everybody that I haven't seen, all year long. We have a group that shows up at Vulture, and man, we have a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to that one as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there on the 10th and the 11th of March. We're doing an overnight, which should be fun.
Yeah.
Last year, and that was a blast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a friend lives in Arizona, Andrew. He went to the one last year. He'll probably be there for that one in March as well. He loves that place too, so it's great.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. We've got to keep getting out there. And there's so many places that I've gone to that I haven't really had a chance to get back to. Mm-hmm. Tombstone's always great as well. It's a very small place, but so much history and so much things that are happening there. The Birdcage is amazing.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, but I've heard about the Birdcage. I haven't gotten there, and that's on the list. There's so many places to hit. It's hard to hit them all, and just if I was independently wealthy, so I wouldn't have to work, I'd be investigating all the time. I'd be all over the place.
Yeah, if I like won the lottery or something, that's what I would be spending most of my time doing. Just going out,
partying,
having a good time, documenting stuff, doing something for my Paraflix show and everything to keep it going. Everyone's got regular jobs. We got to have that regular life going on. In a way, it keeps us grounded a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It does.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, that's cool. I mean, glad you're out there doing that stuff. If you can get to Tombstone, I definitely recommend the Birdcage.
Okay.
First time I went there, it was amazing during the daytime, and I just walked in there with me and my wife, and we're talking to the guy who runs the place. And I'm like, this is a pretty amazing building. There's so much history about it. And he's all, yeah, just go through the door, go on in and check it out. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
So we went in there, and it's weird. You kind of open that door, and it's a step back in time. You just step into this thing, and you're like, whoa. You can see the holes in the ceiling where they used to have the cages up there where the girls were dancing and everything. And obviously, all the bullet holes everywhere and stuff at the stage. But we went through the theater, went backstage. Went down to the lower levels where the brothel and everything was, and there's this really strange card room in there where they have the longest poker game in the world happen there, and it was cool. Pictures, did some stuff, and came back out, and it was nighttime, and the guy's like, "Oh wow, you guys were still in there?" I'm like, "Yeah, we just kind of walked through." He's like, "Yeah, you guys have been in there like 3 hours."
Wow.
It's like, what? Wow. It literally seemed like about 45 minutes.
Wow.
Okay. I caught up in time there. It was really strange, but that's the kind of place that it is. So, you guys should go there and just walk around and check it out and see if that happens to you too.
Yeah, now we definitely have to go. And yeah, with Brian and I together, oh my gosh, it'll probably be the same thing. We'll be like, oh, I thought it's only like 20 minutes. And here, 4 hours later, we're walking out.
It was mind blowing. That happened. You get caught up in this energy vortex, I guess it would be, you're just there and checking it out, communicating with the spirits. I mean, there's boot steps everywhere. You hear whispering and talking and stuff.
Oh wow.
Amazing pictures of faces in the mirror of like some women and stuff. It's pretty amazing place to check out if you can.
Okay.
What would be your most favorite place that you'd want to go check out?
Oh okay. Man. I want to go back to Waverly Hills. We did it once. We did a big trip. It's really a tie. Waverly Hills, and while we were back on that trip, we hit a Civil War battlefield called Perrysville Battlefield. And we hit it on the 4th of July. So you can just imagine the fireworks going off. That place was – that battle's still going on. It's just crazy. Everybody who was there that night had experiences, full body apparitions. We heard commands being shouted, troops running, the gunshots, they might have been real gunshots or echoes. I'm not sure on that, but all the rest of it was just, oh my God, just blow your mind away. So I would love to go back. Waverly, I had a so-so experience. Two of the people we were with, I don't know if they just didn't protect themselves or weren't ready for when we walked in, but they just said, I knew that night I had to stay with them because something bad would happen. I don't know if something bad, but it was like I got the feeling that there was something dark around them. So I was like, I'm staying with you tonight. So I didn't get to experience a lot of Waverly because I was more watching them than, investigating and doing things that I would normally do. So I want to go back and just redo that one.
That's an amazing place, and people always talk about it all the time. They say oh, there's the, what is it? They have like a creeper there or something like that, some kind of anomaly that creeps around and stuff like that.
Yeah,
Did you ever pick up on that?
I didn't see the creeper, but I mean, they got shadows all over the place. And I see shadows like crazy there. You could see people, the shadows walking in and out of rooms, down the hallway, looking at you. We heard a couple times we heard like the shoes of a nurse walking on the floor. You could see her making her round or hear her footsteps as she was making her rounds. That's why I want to go back because I didn't see the creeper, but that death chute, the chute in the bed where they wheeled all the bodies out. Oh man, I went in and my friends stayed at the top and I walked about quarter of the way down and I stood there and I just lost count of all the shadows. And then suddenly this really dark figure came up and I swear it was like right in front of my face. And I was like, hi. How are you? Because I was like, I mean, it was probably the freakiest thing I never, because you always see shadows, but this was like solid black standing in front of me. And it's like, that was the closest a shadow had ever been to me. And I was like, now what do I do? I'm like, okay, I'm staying here. I'm like, hey, good to see you. I'm going to back up now. And I think I stood there 10 seconds, 20 seconds, and then just took two steps back and I said, okay, I'm done. And that was it.
Wow.
Yeah, but
That's
that.
true. The first time I ever experienced a shadow person, it kind of caught me by surprise, because you're always talking about them. You see little shadows here and there. It's all good. But the first time I actually seen one that was like that, pure darkness, I was walking down this Linda Vista Hospital that was in LA, and I'm coming to an end of a hallway, and I'm talking to my spirit photographer, Tara Mead, and we're like just talking back and forth, walking in the hallway, and this shadow kind of gets up and starts moving, right? Like 10 feet away from us. I'm like, oh, where's this guy going? And I'm looking around behind me to see if there's somebody behind me with a light or something. But it's not us casting a shadow. There's nobody there. And this thing is just casually just getting up. And he was really tall, like over 6 feet, and just casually cruising, but pure black. And just casually going into the next room, getting out of our way. I'm like, whoa. And I had to think about it. My brain starts going, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. What am I looking at? What am I looking at? Making sense of what I'm looking at. But it kind of made me think about it. I'm like, that was awesome. That guy just got up out of the corner and took off. He was hiding and just got tired of hiding and went in the other room. So that's a mind-blowing thing for those of you who want to know more about the shadow people. Be prepared for that. It's first time's always a strange thing, and then after that, you kind of get used to it. But that was kind of mind-blowing for me.
Yeah, definitely. Since then I've seen them and now it's like, okay, I've experienced it, so I know what they are. It doesn't freak me out. And then I'm like, okay, come on, you want to come up closer, come check it out. You interact with them more now. You're not freaked out, because you have the experience.
And it's not like on TV where everyone's like, oh, it's a shadow person. It must be demonic or some kind of alien thing. It's like, no, come on. No. You would pick up, if it was something trying to harm you or demonic, whatever, you'd get that impression. You get that sickness that's coming over you where you just know something's not right.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've never run into anything. I've run into things that have been angry, things that have kind of frightened me because it's, you know, they just come forcefully at you, but I've never run into anything like evil, demonic, that, you know, I would not say anything evil, demonic. I've never run into, not saying it doesn't exist, I just haven't seen it, and thankfully, you know, I haven't, because who knows what would happen.
I've come across two strange things which I consider to be kind of demonics, but it wasn't like Hollywood. They weren't trying to grab to get my soul or to do harm. They were just like passing through, so to speak. You know, you could feel the you feel the strange warm energy off them, and they smell terrible. Like just
I can imagine.
Kind of just cruising by. One of them looked like you know, when you're driving on the road and you see that shimmering effect on the horizon. It looked like that, like it was invisible, like the Predator.
You know, yeah. Okay.
It's invisible. It's kind of got that glowing thing.
Yeah.
It looked like that. It looked like it looked like Grimace from McDonald's. That McDonald's character.
Okay.
It was that mounding shape. It was big, and it was just cruising through. Me and one of my buddies were like, "What the hell is that?" And he just got a whiff of sulfur. I'm like, "Oh, that sucks."
Yeah,
cruising through, had no interest in us at all. So I mean, it could have went another different direction, but I was like, nah, let's just go, let him go do his thing. We're gonna go over here.
Yeah, he's going that way, we'll just let him go do his thing. Yeah. And we're good.
We don't need to hang out, but it does does exist. All right, so we got about 5 minutes left here at the show. The show goes by really fast, you know, and I always tell people that. They think it's an hour. Like, what are we going to talk about? Like, it's like us having a cup of coffee, you know, Starbucks or whatever. We're just going to just chill, talk.
Yeah.
It'll be over before you know it. Like, really? It's like, yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe an hour's gone by. So, yes, it does go quick.
Everybody's like, you have a list of questions you're going to ask me so I can prepare? I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to ask you. I know who you are. I know about you. We're just going to talk and see, because when we start with, you know, the basics, things kind of unfold throughout the conversation, and it kind of guides, you know, there's nothing behind it except for us just having a good time and talking, you know, and it's been great talking with you. You know, I'm really glad to have you on the show finally. And we'll have to do this again. We'll have to, you know, do a follow-up show.
Definitely.
Absolutely. So for those who might want to learn about your services and the things that you do, what would be the best way for them to get a hold of you?
The easiest way is off of my Facebook page. I have, you know, obviously my name, I'm on Facebook, you know, you can send me a friend request. Or for the tarot, it's CK's Tarot Path on Facebook. Even if you find me, you know, I always link to it every day. I pull a card every day and post that on Facebook, post it on my tarot page. I'm always linking to it. That's probably the easiest way to get a hold of me is through Facebook. There's an Instagram that I've only done a little things with, and I want to launch a couple of other things, but I haven't got anything going right now. So just the Facebook is the easiest way.
Cool. And when I put everything together, I'll make sure you guys can find that link down in the comments, of course. Go ahead and click on that, and I'll take you to his page. You can ask him questions. If you have a similar experience that you want to talk to him about, I'm sure he'll be happy to talk to you about his experiences and how he got from point A to point B. For those who want to learn more about it, make sure you hit him up. You know, I'm sure he'll answer all your questions that you guys are looking for, because that's what we do. We pretty much try to keep it everything going. You know, there's a lot of people out there kind of waking up to their senses and looking for more information, which is, I'm really glad that people like you are out there sharing your information, helping people. That's why we do the University Magicus. And those can follow us on Paraflix as well. There's a lot of great classes on there, and and shows to watch for, you know, educational purposes and for a lot of fun, you know, because this is really what it's about for me and for a lot of people is we're out there doing this because our passion and our love for being in the field, you know, and we meet new people all the time. And it's really great to have you guys joining us. So thank you guys so much for enjoying the show. Make sure you hit up Charlie. Charlie, it's been absolutely wonderful having you on the show, and I can't wait to see you. Let's get together and have some fun.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah, definitely. Any questions, anything anybody wants to learn about tarot, hit me up. I'll, you know, I share my knowledge because I always feel the only wrong way to read tarot is to not do it. So, boom, there you go.
Good answer.
Yep.
That's true.
That's it.
All right, and make sure you let us know when your cards are coming out.
Oh, I will. I will.
That'll be great.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So, like I said, I've got pretty much most of the major arcana in my head, so I just have to get it on paper.
Cool. All right, cool. I'm looking forward to that. And thank you, Charlie, and you have a wonderful evening. And say hi to Brian for us as well.
All right, will do. You have a great one, Stefan. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed the show, and yes, I'll be back again.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right.
So that was awesome. Charlie's a great guy. You know, hit him up, learn more about him, learn more about the tarot stuff. He'll be talking about that at some of the Paracons. He's got some events coming up. Of course, the Pacific Coast Paracon coming up here in June. For those of you who are in the Central California area, that is the place to be. So make sure you go. You can go to TicketWeb, reserve your spot now, and make sure you tune in to My Darkest Hour. And whether you're listening to on the radio or where you're watching the podcast here, always great to hear from you. Leave a comment, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. You know, it helps us going, keep going in. Make sure you subscribe so you can get that alert when we have new shows coming out, like this one today. You know, it's been a great time talking to Charlie and looking forward to hearing more about some of his adventures. So with that being said, that's going to be it for the show. And we will see you guys next time. Make sure you go to University Magicus. Sign up for the classes. You know, we're teaching a lot of stuff. We're really pushing it out there. So we will see you guys soon. And make sure when you go on there, leave a comment. If you have any questions or things that you want us to do more on the show, if you have an idea that we would like to cover, we'll be glad to do that for you guys. So in the meantime, you guys have an awesome week, and we will see you guys next time right here on My Darkest Hour.